And we'd like to welcome you to Gideon's Armory. This is episode 3, and we've got Josh and Zach on the line with us today. Good evening, Josh.
Good evening.
And good evening, Zach.
Good evening.
And before we came on, before we hooked up tonight, we just said we said a long prayer to the Lord and Savior, and we asked Him to lead us, guide us, and direct us. So, what we're going to talk about is going to be what we're inspired to talk about. But we did have a couple of things that have happened in our lives and that we've been talking about, and it's on the subject of humility. And I think this is an important subject. One of the scriptures that I pulled up right away was found in Psalms 25:9, and it says, "He leads the humble in justice and teaches the humble His way." And you know, when you read a scripture like that, it should encourage you to try to be one of those humble people. And it's something that you can have it, or you can learn it, or you can, you know, pray for it to be granted to you. There's a lot of ways that it happens, but the Lord definitely has a way of humbling His people. And I'll turn it over to Josh. Josh, why don't you take the lead on this?
So Proverbs 15, starting verse 32. "He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility." That's a lot right there in just a few words.
It is.
"He who neglects discipline despises himself." And so many times we find ourselves being disciplined, chastened, corrected, however you want to put it, whenever we're maybe not right on the path where we're supposed to be. And it might be intentional, but you being stiff-necked and hard-headed. And then sometimes we aimlessly stray. But regardless, God is so faithful to lead us back to the path and to guide us and help us. And sometimes it's just a whisper, a thought. And other times He'll take a freaking oak tree and hit you with it, you know, to knock you back on the path, and anything in between. And I've been thankful my whole adult life to be looking for whenever He is guiding me with that discipline. But the thing about it is, and that looking for part, to be looking for it, you got to be humble enough to know that you're not all of that, you know, that He is in control and He is greater than us, and we are less than Him. And I used to think of humility and meekness. I used to parallel that with weakness. But as I get older, and then especially as we morph into positions of authority and grow, as men, as we're supposed to, you realize that it takes a lot more strength to be humble and to take those licks and turn the other cheek than it does just to hit somebody back. And so I don't think that we can overstress the importance of humility. And I think God put that on our heart for tonight. And we want to share some stories with you and some insight, and just like we talked about in the prior programs, we're trying to share with you all the same way that we've had folks influence our lives, those Acres of Diamond men and pastors and preachers, and just the wisdom that was passed on to us to help us along our walk really jumped us ahead of where we would have been, and we're thankful for that. So try to talk about that a little bit and hopefully help you folks out there be able to see where you're doing well and where you can do better.
Amen. I agree with that 100%. Zach, what does humility mean to you? I don't know if that came
when
across
I
right,
think...
but you know what I mean. I want you to tell us what you think on the subject.
When I think of humility and I think of somebody as being humble, I think of somebody in a leadership position. For example, when you read the Bible, Moses was the most humble person to have ever lived. What did Moses understand versus what everybody else did not, or most people did not? Now, Moses, he was the leader of Israel before they settled into the Promised Land. But what did he understand? He understood, a humble person understands that everybody else's needs, everybody else's learning, everybody else's training is more important than their own. And it goes along with the second greatest commandment that Jesus said existed, which was to love your neighbor as yourself. You have to want them to have all the same prosperity, all the same blessings that you have. But you just know that it's very important, because you already have the knowledge that, you know, we have the knowledge of God. We have the mystery was revealed to us of the gospel. And it's very important to us. And like, that's why myself and Josh and Jason are here. But so that way other people know the truth. Other people know, you know, our little stories that we have. It's more important they know than that we know. Because like, when you're a leader, leaders a lot of times are the last ones across the finish line, because they were so worried about getting everybody else across the finish line, so that way the entire group and team made it. It's shepherding is what it is. And you worry about everybody else, and the last person that gets worried about is yourself. So when I think of humility, that's the characteristic I think a man needs to possess in order to be a good husband, in order to be a good body of Christ member, and wherever Christ chooses us to be. You have to have those characteristics in order to be promoted. That's what humility, in my mind, is.
Well, and everything you just described is wrapped around love. And that's loving other people more than we love ourselves. And, you know, as you were describing, as you were, everything, all the words you were saying to me was just hitting it. You know, you've got to love our people, love each other more than ourselves. Put the other guy first.
And that's exactly why we're doing this, because, you know, like, I know all of you guys are pretty much like you're cut out of the same cloth that I am. Even though we come from different parts of the country, we have the same mentality. I know I got enough grit to where I can personally make it to the end, however that may unfold. You know, I can provide And I just am not going to throw in the towel easy. And I know you guys aren't either. But yes, you have to have that love for everybody else. And that's why we're here. We're trying to teach everybody to have that grit. And, you know, then there's more of us. And we're here because we want to save our culture. We want to save our states and our communities and our country. Not about us. In fact, the three of us, it's the least about.
Yeah. I think that, and I think that you can tie that together with, you know, scripture found in Philippians, and it's Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. And it says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. And I think that's what both you gentlemen just described is what that scripture says. And I think that's a really good explanation of what humility is. And when I think about humility, I think about being teachable, you know, not having that pride and arrogance where you can't learn from somebody. And, you know, the older that I get, the more I realize that I've got a lot to learn. And God has a way of putting that, of teaching you that. You know, you can be going along and thinking you're doing pretty good at this and this and this, and boom, all of a sudden something just slaps you in the face. And it's God has a way of humbling people. I was just recently, a good friend of mine, he had a, he got his pilot's license, he got an airplane, and got a really nice older Cessna 210. And just a beautiful plane. I mean, it was built in the 70s, but really nice, low-hour machine. And he was doing really good. He was flying it. He got a good deal on it. He was flying it, got it passed his license, got signed off on the aircraft, and was doing touch-and-goes and flying around to this airport and that airport. And, you know, he'll tell you, he got kind of arrogant. And he went to a fly-in and that they had on Memorial Day, and things were happening, and you know, he came in there just flying in, and didn't go to his checklist, didn't do his C-gums, there's several things that he didn't do. And next thing you know is there's dirt flying up in the windshield. And you know, it was one of those things is he forgot to put his landing gear down. And you know, there was 30 other planes that had flown in there and that were watching him, and basically it was he got humbled. And you know, when God teaches you humility, it can be a tough lesson to learn. And talking with him after that, it was, you know, we're talking with him, and I'm like, you know, I just told him, I said, hey, I'm just glad nobody got hurt. You know, that's the important thing. And he's like, yeah. He's like, it is. And he's like, it was my fault. He was like, I did have a flight instructor in there with me, but he just came along for the ride. And he was not my flight instructor at that point in time. And I'm like, well, he should have caught it. And he's like, I was pilot in command. I was the one that, it was my mistake. And, you know, he owned up to it. He did what he should have, and he learned. But it took humility to be able to do that.
100%. That's a big part of the humility is owning your mistakes. Even if you're not 100% at fault, if you've, you know, got any fault, well then it's your fault. And we know we've all dealt with folks that nothing's ever their fault. and we know how it makes us feel when we're around them. You know, because you know you can't trust that person. If anything happens, it's, you're on your own. It's on you or what have you. And so we got to constantly be looking at ourselves and making sure we're not that guy that is a finger pointer or is always wanting to put something off on somebody else. And to me, that's a big part of humility, is that looking at yourself in every moment, every day. And sometimes we lie to ourselves and try to fool ourselves. But whenever you're really looking and you're examining your own motives and checking your perspective to make sure that you're looking at things correctly, God will give you the truth and you can see. And it's better for all of us to take that dose of humility and own those mistakes, because most of the time you're not fooling anybody around you. The same way that you see when somebody else is trying to pull the wool over your eyes, they see when you're doing it as well. And you're not fooling anybody. All you're doing is losing respect and losing your voice and your name. It's so much better to just own those mistakes and try to learn from them and help others learn from them, get the full value. And that's that humility. You know, it's here talking about mistakes that we've made. That just increases the value. If you mess up and hurt yourself and don't tell anybody else about it, that you're not getting near as much good as if you share that with other folks and say, hey, don't do this because it's going to hurt.
Yes.
Definitely. How you handle your mistakes is, I believe and I know how, like, when you fall short, or you mess up, you know, whether, whatever the mistake might be, it is just as good advertising. I don't know if that's the right word. It shows your character. It advertises your character. That is the right word. Whether you are a true and honest person, and if you handle it properly, I believe a lot of times, you know, it's like sometimes things just happen, and you know, you're in the moment and just stuff happens, but how you handle that will actually, in a lot of times, will gain you more respect had the mistake not happened at all. And, you know, because we all screw up. We do. Mm-hmm. But it's very important that adjustments, if no adjustments made, I think people would dislike you way more. If you just kind of like try to hide it and stuff like that, nobody is going to trust you on any level.
Well, and I've seen, oh, go ahead.
No, so it's, you know, you're always representing, always, whether it's the husband role, father role, Christian role, you're always representing. Always. And, you know, my brother always says, you can be a hero for years. It only takes one day to be a zero. And you just can't shake it, you know. And it's true. So, you know, be careful. Because if you don't have a good reputation behind your name, it's a tough go.
Yeah, that's really, really good point. And, you know, I've seen that. It's you know, sometimes it's, well, I'm going to step back. You know, I know people, and it's like their family motto is, we don't apologize for anything. apologizing is a sign of weakness. And that is just completely wrong. Humility is apologizing when you're wrong and admitting it, owning it. And some of these people that, I don't know if it was the baby boom generation or if it was before that, but that was their mentality, is, you know, we apologize for nothing. And they never did. Even when they were wrong, they didn't have anything to apologize about. And I learned, thankfully had a good teacher on the subject, but, one of the things that I remember one time I did something, and I knew I was going to get in trouble and get chewed out about it. And I got the call, and it was, and I said, yep, I just immediately said, I messed up, and I'm sorry. It was my fault. And it was. And the way that just changed the whole situation was just remarkable. And it stood out in my mind because it was, I went from having a very angry employer that was very upset with me. And, they just, it just completely changed their demeanor. And they said, oh, well, everybody screws up once in a while. You got to have that happen. And, it's okay. Well, try not let that happen again. And I said, yes, sir. I said, that's the plan. And okay. And it completely changed the situation when I did what I was supposed to and had that humility and owned up to it.
A good heartfelt apology, a meaningful apology, makes everything better immediately. So if you owe one, give it.
And also, too, if you messed up in front of everybody, you do better to apologize in front of everybody.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Yeah.
Today, and I did a really good job of covering it up, so I didn't have to tell anybody. but anyway, apparently it was meant for me, a little dose. But I was on my lunch break and I was talking to one of the management folks in my company, and pulled in. And started getting fuel. I just swapped trucks. Actually, today was my first day in a different truck than what I've been riding in. And so anyway, I pull up there to the gas station and do my card and, get it going. And truck's sitting there idling with air conditioning on. And, talking to the boss about this and that. And, I look over there, and I've put 20 gallons of gas in my diesel truck. So I hurried up and ran over there and cut it off, which it was running fine. It hadn't been very long, and I got thinking about how in the world can I remedy this situation without anybody finding out. Anyway, got 20 gallons of gas and a diesel pickup. So I go inside and trying to look, what can I use, and thankfully they had a gas can, a 5-gallon gas can. And there was very little, it wasn't much diesel in the truck at all, 20 gallons of gas. And so I had a 5-gallon can, and I said, well, you try to find me a piece of hose of some kind. I didn't have a plan yet. Maybe I figured I'd disconnect the fuel line, use a pump to pump it out or something. I wasn't real sure, but there was a pawn shop within sight that I could see. So I went to the pawn shop and they didn't have anything. And I got a toolbox full of stuff, but no siphon hose, no. So, and then another several blocks up the road, I saw a tire shop. So I went up the road to the tire shop and got a piece of 3/8 air hose. I asked the guy, if he had any old hose, and he didn't. And anyway, all they had was a good hose. And he said, "How much you need?" And I said, "About 6 foot." And so he took and cut that good hose. I was like, "Man, don't, you know," and offered to pay him for it, and he wouldn't take anything. He's like, "No, no, go ahead." So carried the hose back there to the truck and got it all set up and got a couple of mouthfuls of gas, you know, siphoning it out. And I was putting it in the 5-gallon can, and the truck pulled up behind me. I said, "Y'all want some free gas? It's got just a little bit of diesel in it." So anyway, siphoned about 15 gallons out and gave it to them and got the rest of it out. And but all I fought all this myself just because I didn't want anybody to know about it. I could have easily called, you know, I spent the morning with a mechanic that has a rig truck set up. It would have been so much easier to have called him. But nope. I screwed it up. I'm gonna fix it, you know. Just that. Then I did. I fought it, and I always say, if it's gonna be stupid, you better be tough, you know. But I got all the fuel siphoned out, put the treatment in it, and filled it up with 30 gallons of diesel, and you know, all is well. But you know, stuff happens, and I remember in the past thinking about folks and like, how in the world would you put gas in a diesel, you know? Because I've known other people that have done it, and whenever you do it, you think of those thoughts, those times whenever you judge people harshly and, you know, thinking it was just crazy on their behalf or whatever. And, but just a good little humbling there, and, definitely prayed about it that there wasn't any mechanical damage and, you know, everything would be better than what it was before. And, you know, that attitude of humility also helps us along with that praying without ceasing. I know we've talked about that many, many times. Of, you know, you don't have to stop what you're doing and get on your knees and, you know, get some ashes and throw them up in the air. You don't have to make a big deal out of praying. But I'm sure Zach does it, because I've done some tree work in the past myself. But every time before we go to cutting on a big tree, you know, just always pray about it. Not nothing fancy, but, you know, Lord, praises you, that you guide our cuts and let everything fall the way it should and nobody get hurt. And, you know, and in everything we do, we should be seeking him and his guidance and his will. And if you do that and something doesn't go just the way that you think it should have, well, I mean, you know, you asked him, and we want his will to be done because it's better than our will. And we know that he works everything for our good. And so you stand on that, you trust in that, and you take that opportunity to learn from it and do better.
Amen. I agree 100%. And we've got just about 45 seconds left. So I think that went well. And folks, that was episode 3 of Gideon's Armory. And we do encourage you to continue to keep us in your prayers and send us your what you'd like us to be talking about. We are open to suggestions. And we'll be right back with episode 4 here in just a few minutes.